Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you a passage of Scripture taken from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Paul is a savor unto Christ. Paul is one who came preaching Christ and Him crucified. The message of gospel preaching is Christ and Him crucified. When Philip went into Samaria, he preached Christ and the kingdom of God, the scripture says in Acts 8 and verse 12. And when he is commissioned to go down to this deserted place called Gaza and encounter the man from Ethiopia, he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Paul was a preacher of Jesus Christ. In them that are saved and in them that perish. Paul uses these two terms to describe truly the classes of humanity. We choose to divide people into classes. We do so by perhaps their culture, their language, their education, whatever their social status might be. God has divided humanity into two classes. One of those classes is those that are saved, and the other is those that perish. This word perish is a frightening word. It's a disturbing word. It speaks of ceasing to exist, ceasing to be. Paul said, as he preached Christ, there were those that were saved and those that would perish. Because you see, not everyone will hear the preaching of Jesus. Not everyone will follow the preaching of Jesus. Not everyone chooses Jesus in their life. And so they perish. On the other hand, there are those who hear Christ, believe Christ, follow Christ, live pleasing and acceptable unto Christ, and they are saved. Look into your heart. Are you saved or will you perish? As we study the Bible, we learn that there are two destinies. There are two places where humanity will dwell because there is an afterlife. There is another world. There is a spiritual world, a heavenly world. Man has been created as a soul, which means that man will live on. We will encounter physical death. Our bodies will be removed from this earth. We will cease to know this existence. But we will live on because we have been created in the image of God to be an eternal, immortal being. There is the corruptible part of man, and there is the incorruptible part of man. And so there are two destinies. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, Jesus is preaching to this great multitude on the mountain. This is a marvelous sermon. This is a life-changing sermon. This is a sermon that will affect your thinking and as a result will affect your life, your heart. And as Jesus is bringing this great sermon to a close, he said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." That implies that I have a choice in what I do in life. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus has been preaching to this multitude, and in conclusion he tells them there are two roads that you can travel. There are two paths that you can choose. One is wide and broad, and it leads to destruction. And the travelers upon that road, according to Jesus, are many. The other road is straight and narrow. There are boundaries, there are restrictions, there are limitations. There are thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. And it leads to life. The road that leads to life is traveled by those who are saved, and the road that leads to destruction is traveled by those who perish. And on this road that is straight and narrow, few there be that find it. The travelers are few. There are those that will go to heaven, and there are those that will go to hell, because there will be the separation of the saved and the lost. The Bible tells us that a day will come, a time will come, when those that are saved and those that perish are separated. And Jesus shows us this judgment and this separation in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 beginning. When we read this marvelous teaching of Jesus, we see that He comes in the glory of the Heavenly Father, and He sits upon the throne of His glory. And before Him are gathered all the people that have lived upon the earth, the whole race of Adam, every son and daughter born of woman, everyone who has breathed God's breath, felt God's Son, eaten God's food, drank God's water, lived upon God's earth, and they will be separated. They will be separated according to how they have lived, what they have done, the activity of their life, the conduct, the conversation of their life. Jesus describes these as sheep and goats. Sheep are on the right hand. The goats are on the left hand. The saved and those that perish. Into which group will you be? Where are you now? What is your relationship with God? How do you stand with Him? And in verse 46 he says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Two groups, two destinies. Everlasting punishment, life eternal. Everlasting, eternal, without end. Our life here is temporary, it will end. But in the world to come, there will be no end. It's not temporary. It doesn't last for a time and then cease to exist. Everlasting punishment, life eternal. This is the separation of the saved and those that perish. And in one of those two groups, you and I are found today and will be found at life's end. Now, the amazing truth of the matter is that we can change paths while we live in this world. We can be saved and we can move to the path whereby we will perish, the path that leads to destruction. Or we can be upon the path that leads to destruction and we can move to the path of the saved and the road that leads to life. While we live, we have a choice. We can make a decision. And in the Bible, we are taught the truth that the saved can become the perish, and the perish can become the saved. And what we do is our choice. It's how we react to the gospel, the preaching of Jesus. Who are the saved? The Bible tells us who are the saved. And if we know who are the saved, then we know those that perish. And we can know at all times where we are and how we stand in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can know what our destiny is going to be. If we are the saved, then we know that our destiny is life eternal. If we are the perishable, then we know that our destiny is eternal punishment, everlasting destruction. Who are the saved? Those in Christ. To be saved, we must be in Christ. We must come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We must come to know Christ as Savior. We must be found in Christ. We must live in Christ. We must walk in Christ. We must remain in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake." Paul had to endure a life of preaching the gospel because the gospel had enemies. And Paul often found himself being persecuted. He found himself being driven out of cities. He found himself being cast into prison. Many of us are fortunate and blessed that we do not enjoy that type, of persecution. That we do not have to engage in that type of confrontation. But for, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, but let it be known that everyone has to endure something in order to follow Jesus, because the devil does not want you to follow Jesus. Satan does not want you to live according to the gospel. And so, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, the saved." Paul was enduring these things so that many would be saved, all would be saved, the elect's sake, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says salvation is in Christ Jesus, and you have to obtain it. That means that there is a work of faith that you and I must do. There is an act of devotion that we must commit, that we must perform. Salvation is in Christ. This is where God has placed salvation. But I must obtain that salvation. I must come to possess that salvation. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In Christ there is transformation. In Christ there is change. In Christ there is renewal. We are shown in the discussion of conversion in Ephesians chapter 4 and even in Romans chapter 6, where the old man dies, the old man of sin dies, this old person dies, and we are renewed. And then this new man comes into being. This is the man in Christ. Paul says, if any man, everyone, all people, be in Christ, we must be in Christ, then we become a new creature. The past of our life is gone, and we become new creatures in Christ. All things are passed away. Our past is passed away. God does not remember our past. We do not relive our past. We become a new creature in Christ. And Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Paul said we become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We must believe in Christ. We must believe Him to be the Savior. We must believe Him to be God's Son who has been sent to live in human flesh and die the death of Calvary. And so we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do I get into Christ? I am baptized into Christ. Baptism is a burial in water. There is one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4. It is a burial in water. We're buried with Him, Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Listen to Colossians 2, 11 through 13. "In whom ye also, circumcised with the circumcision made without hands." Circumcision was given by God to seal the covenant that He made with Abraham in the Old Testament. God had promised Abraham that He would make of him a great nation, that He would give unto him the land of Canaan through the son that was born, Isaac. And so He had Abraham perform circumcision as a seal, as a reminder, as a guarantee that He would fulfill the promise that He had made to Abraham. But here the apostle says we're circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. It's not a physical circumcision. "In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." When? How does Christ put away the sins of the flesh? When and how does Christ perform this spiritual circumcision on you and me? Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's the new man. The new man has been forgiven of all trespasses because he has been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, as he is buried with Jesus Christ in baptism and raised by the very power of God to become a new creature in Christ. The saved are in Christ by an act of faith and by an act of obedience, whereby we are buried with Jesus Christ in water, we are baptized in water, and we're raised to walk and live in newness of life, because Jesus Christ has removed the sins of the flesh, and we have become a new creature in Christ. The saved are those who are in Christ, those who have been baptized into Christ, so that they might have the forgiveness of all trespasses. The saved are those in the church. We must be in the church. Acts 2:47. The setting for this passage of Scripture is is Peter's sermon at Pentecost in Jerusalem. All nations have come to celebrate this feast. The apostles have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, fulfilling the promise that Jesus had made in John 14, John 15, and John 16 to His disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, He reminds them that if they tarry in the city of Jerusalem, they will be endowed with power on high. Acts chapter 2, in the beginning, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They are baptized with the Holy Spirit. They receive this promise that God has made, and they preach the gospel. All things are brought to their memory. what God wants them to preach is revealed unto them through the Holy Spirit. And they proclaim that Jesus has been approved of God by miracles, signs, and wonders, that he has been crucified by wicked hands, that he has been laid to rest in the tomb, and that he has been resurrected by the power of God, and he has ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God. He has become the Lord of his kingdom, the King of his domain. And they hear that sermon, and they are pricked in their heart, and Peter tells them, repent and be baptized. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. They were added unto them. And then verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. How did they get into the church? Did they join the church? Did they choose this church among all the other churches? No, the Lord added them. Who did he add? The saved. The saved are the church. Those in the church are the saved. The church is not a physical location. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saved of God, the redeemed of God, the elect of God. The church is the obedient soul that has rendered itself, himself, unto the gospel of Jesus Christ and has obeyed the truths of the gospel. And the Lord has added them to the church, made them a part of this divine fellowship. Ephesians 1, 22, 23, put all things under his feet, giving him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God gave Christ to be the head over the church. He is the head of the saved. He is the authority of the saved. He gives orders and instructions and laws and commandments to the saved. Ephesians 5, 23 and 25, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. What is the body? The body is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. What does Jesus say? The body, the church. Who makes up the church? The saved. How did they get into the church? The Lord added them to the church. That's a simple process. The Bible is very clear on that teaching. And so those who are saved because of their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ become the church. You must be saved to be in the church. And he's the Savior of the body. Christ has saved the church. He is our Savior. Salvation is in Jesus. And when we obey the commandments of repentance and baptism into Jesus Christ, God has forgiven us all sins, and he has placed us in the church, the saved. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus gave himself for the church. When he died on the cross, it was for the church, so that he could become the Savior of humanity. Acts 14, 21 through 23, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. The faith is the doctrine of Christ. It's the teaching of Christ. It is the word of Christ. We must continue in the faith, not many faiths, not separate faiths, not a multitude of faiths. We've got a culture today of religious idealism and religious denominationalism that is completely foreign, totally unknown to the will of Almighty God. They were to continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they had believed. They were the saved as members of the Lord's church. And then, in the third place, The saved are those in Christ. The saved are those in the church. The saved are those who are written in the book of life. Somewhere your name and my name is written by the Lord God. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, John sees this great vision. The book of Revelation itself is a vision that has been revealed unto John by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 20 and verse 12 of Revelation, John says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. That's an awesome thought. We will stand before God. Can you imagine? Human eye that has never seen God will stand before God. We will see Him in that hour. We will behold Him in His glory, His majesty, His beauty. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. John says that there was a book that was opened, and in that book were written names. And the dead that has been raised is judged according to the things which are written in the books. God keeps a record of what you and I do. God knows and sees every act, every thought that we have, every word that we speak, and He records that in a book. And when we stand before Him and those books are open, that book is open, we will be judged according to what has been written. Where is our name written? In Revelation 3 and verse 5, God says, He that overcometh. We have to overcome. We have to overcome distress. We have to overcome defeat. We have to overcome sin, the devil. We have to conquer. We have to fight a battle in this life, and we have to overcome. And he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There is a book of life, and our name is written in that book of life. And God is not going to blot out our name if we overcome, if we continue in the faith, if we abide in his word, if we remain on the road that leads to life. That narrow and straight way. Philippians 4 and verse 3, And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. There is a book of life that God keeps, in which He writes the names of the saved, the names of the obedient, the names of the faithful, the names of the elect, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have been baptized into Christ so that all sins are forgiven, who have been raised with God from that water of baptism by His divine operation. Everything in salvation has to do with the power of God and God's working in the heart of humanity. And our names are written in the book of life. Luke 10 and verse 20, Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. One passage quickly, Hebrews 12, 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. And so those names of the saved are written in heaven. Two classes, the saved and those that perish. Two destinies, heaven or hell. The saved are those in Christ, those in the church, those whose names are written in the book of life. I pray that you will be in Christ, that you will be in the church, that your name will be in the Book of Life. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.